I'm at a local golf course, and I'll be the first to admit that I'm not a very good golfer.
Four!
But I do enjoy playing the game, especially walking the course, hanging with my friends, and having that one great putt on the green. Golf is a very challenging sport because it requires so much thought, concentration, and technique, and you just never seem to be able to read how that little white ball is going to roll on the green. Speaking of greens, the grounds at golf courses have certainly improved over the years, with superior turf surfaces and stronger, more durable grasses. We've learned a lot during these podcasts about food and science, but did you know ARS has been developing natural turf cultivars since the 40s? It actually started from a conversation between ARS researcher Dr. Glenn Burton and the director of the U.S. Golf Association Greens Section.
Okay, the story that everybody tells is that Fred Grau, who was the director at the time of the U.S. Golf Association Greens Section, asked Dr. Burton, who was working on forges at the time, if he provided $500 a year, would he start working on improving turf grasses? At the time, the Bermuda grass greens were not great. They were all usually just sand that was painted green or a seeded variety of Bermuda grass. He wanted the grasses to look better, especially on the greens.
What? Well, I guess it's true what they say, that more deals get done on the golf course than the conference rooms. Using the seed money, if you will, from USGA, in 1946, Burton started the turf grass breeding program in Tifton, Georgia, located just a few hours south of Augusta, which is home to the Masters. 6 years later, in 1952, Burton released Tiflon, a Bermuda hybrid that included many of the traits the USGA was looking for. That teed off an ultra-successful turf breeding program that continues today.
Especially in terms of greens grasses, things have really improved. They started with just a sand surface, and now they're cutting at shorter and shorter heights. The latest grasses have improved significantly, and people that golf, especially on the golf greens, are really interested in how fast the ball is rolling and all that. And I know those are really important traits. So I think there's been a lot of improvement in that. And then grasses have a huge amount of benefits in general. I mean, they prevent erosion. You can definitely tell somebody with no lawn versus that has a lawn, just the quality of being able to walk on it and not get your feet completely muddy is a big benefit, as well as just a recreational surface, a place to play. And I think if it's well maintained, it could be quite attractive.
That's Dr. Karen Harris-Schultz, a research geneticist at ARS's Crop Genetics and Breeding Research Unit in Tifton, Georgia. Turf grasses provide cooling effects, erosion control, water filtration, and of course, playing surfaces for kids, families, athletes, and weekend warriors like myself. For decades, ARS researchers have developed all-natural turf grasses that are highly productive, disease-resistant, and use fewer resources, such as water, fertilizer, herbicides, and pesticides.
Centipede's one of my favorite grasses. I have it in my front lawn. It's kind of like a pale green grass, but really it doesn't require much management. I'll be honest with you, I've never fertilized my lawn, and I don't irrigate the front either, just because it can take it, since one of the few grasses that can handle low inputs. Bermuda grass requires a good amount of inputs to have a pretty surface and a pretty lawn, but centipede grass is more of a low maintenance lawn.
Whether you play sports or watch sports, you've probably noticed a difference in the playing fields over the years. Since the beginning of time, people played on grass and dirt. As a soccer player in my youth, I remember the first spring games when the grass was nice and thick and green. Unfortunately, midway through the season, the field would turn into a huge mud patch. In the 1960s, the Houston Astrodome installed a new artificial turf which boasted benefits such as low maintenance, no grass stains, and drought resistance. It also didn't need the sun for growth. That started a trend in sports, with recreational, collegiate, and professional sports venues tearing out natural grass and installing artificial or synthetic turfs. However, these turfs weren't ideal for all sports. For one, the surface was very fast, and it would also get pretty hot under the sun. Players also complained of increased injuries playing on these surfaces. Fast forward to today, and the trend has been to install natural turf grass cultivars that are soft but durable. ARS has played a major part in this movement, with the release of over a dozen natural turf grass hybrids.
There's a lot of big ones. Tiff Way is still grown today. That was released in 1960, but you can still buy that, and it's considered an industry standard. Tiff Green was another one. That was a greens grass. That was released by ARS in 1956. All the modern greens grasses are derived from Tiff Green.
Tiff Sport Bermuda tolerates frequent low mowing and recovers quickly from wear and tear. Tiff Blair Centipede grass can survive prolonged severe winter temperatures. It's low maintenance and needs only a small amount of fertilizer. Tiff Eagle is a third generation Bermuda grass that grows into a premier putting surface for golfers. Tiff Fine is for athletic fields and putting greens. And Tiff Sport is, well, for golf courses and all kinds of athletic fields. Tiff Tough is a drought tolerant Bermuda grass and was used in the 2019 World Equestrian Games. And Tiff Grand, which is a shade-tolerant Bermuda grass, was used in the most recent Olympic and Paralympic Games. ARS turf grasses have been installed at hundreds of professional fields, high school and collegiate fields, golf courses, and parks and sports complexes across the country.
There's been a lot of benefits, especially economically, to improving turf grass. It's gotten to be quite a large business. I think the role of USDA has been huge in turf grass improvement.
Okay, we're going to nerd out a bit here and talk about the science behind creating new turf grasses. Many Bermuda grasses are genetically either diploids or tetraploids, which means they have either two or four sets of chromosomes. Humans have two sets of chromosomes. ARS researchers figured out how to cross diploid and tetraploid plants together, which created triploid hybrids. And from the thousands of triploid plants, they select those that have beneficial traits, like durability, water tolerance, drought resistance, and quick growing. These new triploid plants have added benefits as well.
The triploids are sterile, so they can't produce seed. And so that's what they wanted with turf grass. They wanted it to be uniform. If it's uniform, it's not dropping seed. And that's great, because if it dropped seed, then it wouldn't look like the parents. It would start segregating. So that was the big excitement.
We've learned how these new turf grasses have benefited kids, families, athletes, and homeowners, as well as the turf industry. But what you may not know is that certain turf grasses can actually benefit our pollinators too.
A lot of times people say, oh, grasses, you know, they're worthless. I hear all the time that they're a deserted wasteland. You need to rip out your lawn. But if you really look at your grass, especially when it's flowering, a lot of insects are consuming that pollen. The thing that people forget about is that bees require nectar and pollen. And so they'll feed on both. And a lot of times we notice bees on large flowers like zinnias, but we don't necessarily notice bees on smaller flowers like centipede grass, which has a tiny flower. So I thought, well, geez, we need to quantify this somehow. We did a couple of different projects, one asking what type of pollinators are in a centipede lawn. Is it really a biological wasteland? And it is not. And then also, what kind of pollinators are actually consuming or collecting centipede pollen? Those were two great studies, not only just giving some additional evidence that pollinators can be on grasses, but they can be on turf grasses. Unheard of, right? You never hear that.
Harris Schultz and USDA entomologist Jonathan O'Hearn are currently researching how different management practices, such as mowing schedules and irrigation times, can affect how pollinators interact with centipede, Bermuda, and zoysia grasses. Helping pollinators is great, but what I really need is a turf grass with arrows that shows exactly which direction to putt to get my ball in the cup. Maybe I'll see if Harris Schultz is around to play 18 with me.